Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, over the course of the general election campaign, we're going to hear from all of the leaders of the political parties who are vying for your vote on the 29th of November. And we start today with the leader of the Social Democrats, Holly Kearns, who is a candidate in the Cork South West constituency. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, just to begin with, if people vote for you and for your party, for the Social Democrats in this election, what do they get that no other party can deliver?
What we want to say to people is that we want to see a kind of change in approach in politics. So this is what I've always wanted to see since before I went into politics, where you have a kind of more straight-talking party that won't try and, you know, kind of promise the sun, moon and stars and then under-deliver, which is what we see as par for the course in politics. So we have our campaign launch tomorrow, Claire, and what we want to say to people is a vote for the Social Democrats is a vote for these things. So we'll have our kind of our deal breakers that we'll go into negotiations for a programme for government that will be kind of non-negotiables for us, and to have that really clear pact with the electorate, because what we see is kind of an approach that I think a lot of people are really sick of. And it's kind of, you know, in advance of the election, we saw kind of a giveaway budget where they're kind of splashing cash around to try and buy votes. Now we're seeing the same kind of approach with splashing around promises of things they do in government that for some reason they haven't done in the last 14 years.
So what are your what are your deal breakers then? What are your non-negotiables?
So we'll be going into much more detail about them in our campaign launch tomorrow. But I can tell you that they're in relation to disability is one we've already launched. We need to see a senior ministry for disability in the next government, because one thing that's very clear, Claire, is that the political will to address the shortcomings in our disability services have not been addressed by this government, by successive governments. And we need the political will to be able to do that. We're a country that has the resources to provide these services. We believe it's the political will that's missing, and the weight of a senior minister would address that. Our other deal breakers would be in relation to housing, health, climate and childcare.
OK, and many others are promising other things on that. But let's talk about the Minister for Disability. Now, that would come at a cost. And you have said that you would downgrade the higher education portfolio, haven't you?
Yeah, I think what people feel and what the Social Democrats really feel is this kind of opportunity that the country has, you know, in loads of ways, we're a really successful country, but the record budget surpluses, they offer an opportunity that has been consistently squandered and wasted by this government. And that's an opportunity to invest in what matters in public services.
But are you saying then that higher education doesn't matter? Because many would say third level education has only become much more accessible because there has been a clear government focus on it. Are you in danger of losing that focus?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Of course, higher education is extremely important and needs to be resourced more. We could have genuinely free education. But we think in terms of there is a limited number of departments. If you're saying you're going to establish a new one, you need to explain how you're going to do that. And I think it makes perfect sense for education and higher education to be in the same department. I don't think that will weaken our policy, our positions on the need to, you know, fund education properly to make it genuinely free. Like, we've seen some really good steps, for example, from this government when they brought in free school books. And it's not like a drop in the ocean in terms of the government budget at the moment could make education genuinely free. We don't believe that putting higher education back into education would limit the possibilities of what we could do to make education more accessible and equally accessible.
In recent times, you have accused the government of splashing the cash on these double social welfare payments, particularly in the run-up to the election. Now, the Fine Gael leader has asked you to name which of the social welfare payment bonuses you wouldn't pay. Can you answer that question?
If the Taoiseach had looked at our alternative budget, it isn't social welfare payments that we would be slashing in any way, shape or form. That is just classic spin from the Taoiseach. What we're saying is we wouldn't do the giveaway one-off payments. Things like, Claire, this government has spent 100 million now on energy supports for holiday homes. That is the kind of thing that the Social Democrats wouldn't do. We think that supports need to be targeted. And for example, even this kind of what social welfare payments are is at the whim of the minister of the day, of the government, a government trying to by your vote, by the election, essentially.
You wouldn't pay any social welfare bonus payments or double payments? The ones that have gone into people's...
We wouldn't have paid the one-off payments.
Okay, the ones that have gone into people's accounts. Last week, for example, we had the child benefit. The double payment went in last week. You wouldn't have paid that?
Yes, our alternative budget had an increase of core social welfare payments of €25. And we think that they should increase in line with the minimum essential standards of living, not just what the government of the day thinks will get them a vote in the next few months, because one-off payments evaporate fast. Yeah. And politicians will promise you that they will have massive tax cuts and invest in public services. The truth is, you can't do both in a way that's ineffective. And we're clear that our priority is to invest in what matters.
Right,
and that actually
brings
down the cost of living.
A 25% increase when you have a growing population means it gets more and more expensive every year to increase welfare payments across the board. I mean, have you extrapolated that increase? How much is that going to cost in 5 or 10 years? And will the state be able to afford it?
All of that is costed, Claire, absolutely. And at the 25
so
euros
is
starting to bring
for?
People up.
I mean, are you increasing taxes?
We don't promise the large tax cuts. The way that, and so if you look at our two budgets, there is very different in terms of tax spend. And then there's a huge difference in how much we can invest. And when you invest that money instead in services, in things like genuinely affordable homes, in things like free healthcare, genuinely free healthcare, like most European countries have that. We have a plan. It hasn't been implemented yet. That brings down the cost of living for everybody. And when we face kind of things that are kind of unforeseeable, like there's lots of discussion about, you know, will our budgets be this kind of lucrative forever into the future? Not necessarily. There are, you know, questions over that. What should we have done now to protect ourselves from that?
Okay.
We should have invested to make sure that education is free, healthcare is free. I think that brings down people's cost of living more than one-off payments.
Okay,
and
so,
that
so
is
what,
a
what,
choice people have.
What social welfare payments will increase if the Social Democrats, if you have your way?
So, like I said, we would have increased core welfare payments. So that would go to everybody, pensioners, everybody who needs it. And we think that people should be able to live a dignified life on those payments. And we also would have increased... made a new payment, a cost of disability payment. So the government, this government for the first time recognised the additional cost of having a disability payment, but it was a one-off payment. And I think many people found that offensive because for the most part, if you have a disability, it's for 365 days of the year.
I'm just trying to get a cost here on this. So are you saying that pensioners and people who are on disability allowance will get a 25% increase?
Yeah, and then an additional cost of disability payment would be separate to the core increase in social welfare payments.
Okay, any other social welfare payments that would go up by 25%?
I didn't say by 25%, it would go up by €25.
€25.
And yes, we did have other increases in terms of the qualified child payment. So at the moment, child deprivation has actually increased under this government. So the best way to target that support is through the qualified child payment, children who need it the most, to try and genuinely lift people out of poverty.
So if you have a €25 increase on core social welfare payments, how much does that cost in a full year?
I don't have that figure in front of me at the moment, Claire, but I can assure you and your listeners that all of this was costed in our alternative budget. And I'll send a note into the show directly after this interview to tell you the exact cost.
And how is it paid for?
Well, everybody who creates their alternative budget has the amount of money that the government is using that's available to them, then they can promise tax cuts, which reduces the amount they can spend, or they cannot, and you can allocate that money elsewhere. So our priority is not those one-off payments, is not large tax cuts, it's that investment. And I think that's what we need to be clear with people about. This is why the Social Democrats exist. We think that that approach is something that people are sick and tired of, that doesn't kind of plan for the future. It's all about politics for the next election rather than the next generation.
Okay, well,
we're offering a different approach. We want to be straight people.
Yeah.
We're not going to try to buy your vote or engage in auction politics. We will invest in what matters, because at the moment,
well, it is unfortunate
you can't afford
though,
to buy
that,
a home in this country.
That you don't have a figure here, because we are talking about non-negotiables. We're talking about the very important choice that people have to make. And you're telling me that you're not going to cut taxes and you're not going to do one-off payments, and that will pay for a 25% increase across the board for social welfare, for core social welfare rates. But you don't have the figures.
Sorry, Claire, I didn't say 25%.
€25, my apologies.
€25 increase.
Okay, but the point remains, you don't have the figures on this.
To be honest with you, Claire, the amount of figures in an alternative budget, I'm sure you can understand your listeners, is a lot. And I'm not going to be able to like learn every single one of those off by heart before an interview. So I'm really sorry that I don't have that figure there. But I think there's nothing worse than a politician making things up on a show to try to pretend to know. I'm saying, I don't have that figure in front of me, but I will send it to you directly after this show.
Okay, listen, we'll move on. You said as the campaign began that the voters should reject the spin. But realistically, when it comes down to it, once the votes are cast, you might need to sign up to the purveyors of spin, as you call them, to be in government. Do you commit to talk to all parties and none with a view to being part of the next government?
Absolutely. Our approach, like I said, is we want to be straight with people. We want to say these are the issues that we need to have in a programme for government. These are the way they need to be addressed. And it's that's our priority rather than who that's with or, you know, what the personalities are.
So a vote for the Sock Dems could be a vote for a Fine Gael-led government?
We will talk to everybody. I think a lot of people know that, you know, obviously there's different ideological positions there and we've, you know, just hashed them out at great length, I think. So we'd be more compatible with some parties than others. But we will talk to every party about a programme for government.
Including Sinn Féin. You've no difficulties with that party following their recent controversies and how those controversies were handled.
We have like issues and difficulties with all parties. There's differences between all parties. That's why different parties exist. We will absolutely talk to all parties.
Yeah, the Labour Party, I mean, we know that there are historical differences there between you guys and the Labour Party, but you joined the Social Democrats in 2018 after all of those problems were dealt with. Surely it's time to leave all that behind, and they say they'll talk to you, but will you talk to them?
Like I said, absolutely, we'll talk to every party after the election about a programme for government. We're very keen to do that. You know, no one goes into politics to go into opposition. We really want to go into government. And for the Social Democrats, Claire, we've gone from strength to strength. In the local elections just recently, we've doubled our number of councillors. We're the second largest party in Dublin City Council. We really want to kind of build on that mandate. We want to grow to try and have the biggest possible impact we can in government to turn our policies, our principles, our ideas into a reality for our communities. We feel like this election is an opportunity for us to do that. Mm-hmm. We want people to know exactly where they stand with us. And we'll be asking them to give us their support, and we'll drive a very hard bargain going into this government to try to change the approach and the direction of this country, because this election is a choice in terms of how we do that.
And I'm sure you saw reports over the weekend that Labour is the preferred choice for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Why do you think the Sock Dems is being left behind in that conversation?
It's interesting to see the Taoiseach saying things like that. I'm really not sure. I presume he thinks that we will drive a hard bargain, and he's right. We wouldn't go into government to be any kind of a mudguard for any party. We have our clear principles, and the stronger the mandate we get from the people to be able to do that, the more of an ability we'll have it. So I'm asking people to please send us in there with a strong mandate. We really, really want to change things for the better in this country. There is another approach. Potential is enormous. We will drive a hard bargain in those government talks. And I think the Taoiseach, to use an example, that he wouldn't be considering us in the same way as other parties because of something to do with CETA. And like, that's something that a government TD took to the Supreme Court. So part of that trade deal has been paused as a result. So it seems like he's kind of plucking at straws. I mean, I don't suppose he wants to say, oh, well, I have an issue with their approach to disability, for example. I think if he's going to say things like that, he should back it up and explain why.
OK, but you expect that you will be talking after this election, if the opportunity arises, to both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Yeah, we'll talk to absolutely everybody, 100%. Okay. And I think it was interesting as well that he was saying, oh, I want to go kind of first as Taoiseach, and people vying for different ministries and stuff. Like, there's a kind of, I suppose, an arrogance there that I'm finding surprising. Like, this is up to the people now who they're going to vote for, and people acting like it's a done deal, picking their coalition partners, picking their ministries and what particular year they'd like to be Taoiseach, I think is a little bit preemptive. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we should focus on, you know, speaking to the people, trying to get their trust.
Okay.
Campaigning on what matters.
Can we just go back to any conversation that you might have with Fine Gael? Because we saw reports in the Mail at the weekend that Fine Gael is planning to means test all asylum seekers who are working and will require them to pay for things like their accommodation or contribute to their accommodation and to their meals. Can you do business with them if that is a commitment that they are going to make?
Look, it's really disappointing to see this kind of thing coming from Fine Gael. They obviously see it as a way for them to try and get votes, but it does kind of amount to a dog whistle on immigration. And unfortunately, you know, we hear a lot about populism in politics at the moment, and more it seems like Fine Gael are the biggest culprits of this, saying things like that. Like, ultimately, if you have somebody who's, you know, coming into the direct provision system, you need people to be able to try and get out of that system. You start means testing people and charging people, they get stuck in a system. And that isn't the approach that we should be taking as a country.
So if that is a policy and a commitment that they make, are you saying that that is a red line for you?
I didn't say that. I don't think Fine Gael will even stick to the lines they're coming out with now. Like I said, they're throwing around election promises now, like they were cash before the election was called. Things like promising the 11% VAT rate yesterday, they obviously hadn't even thought that through, because that would essentially bring up everybody's energy bills, the VAT on that, from 9% to 11%. Imagine making that as an election promise. But they're so quick out with the kind of populist promises now. And I think people can see through it because they've just had 14 years to implement these things and they haven't done it. So it just feels like election year.
Just on that, I mean, I think that a lot of people in the country would now agree that the hospitality industry does need some help. So how would you do that?
Absolutely. And like, particularly in areas like mine in Cork Southwest, it's a huge part of our economy. You know, for tourism, it's so important. It's a huge employer. All of those things, it's absolutely crucial. So we recognise the desperate need to support the sector. Energy costs, staff costs, everything's going up all the time. And businesses are literally struggling to keep the doors open. What we think needs to be acknowledged is that, you know, a VAT rate is a very blunt instrument. And if you reduce that across the board, you're basically, Claire, applying the same kind of reduction to, for example, a big hotel in Dublin as you are to a one-woman cafe in Ballydehob in West Cork. So our approach would be separating the VAT on food and beverages in that type of hospitality, separate to accommodation, to try and make it, again, a more targeted support. Mm. We think we need to target support where it's needed.
That might be a very difficult thing to do, and you still might be left with that problem where you have to increase VAT elsewhere, quite possibly on the energy bills.
Well, no, it's a European stipulation that there can be two VAT rates. So at the moment, there's the 9 and the 13.5. So the Fine Gael were suggesting scrapping the 9 and making it 11. So then it has to be 11 at a minimum on energy bills. We're saying we keep the 9, keep that in energy bills, and apply that to the food and beverage sector. You still have the 13% one, which would leave on accommodation only.
You'd have to separate the larger hospitality operators, which might be a complicating factor.
I think we've gone through much more complicated processes than that in the past. It can absolutely be achieved, yeah.
Now, let's talk about your election promises, the ones that we know about. You say affordable houses in Dublin should be no more than 300,000, 260,000 outside the capital. How will you do that?
So the only way that we've actually seen affordable housing being delivered, in that sense that it's genuinely affordable, is through the not-for-profit housing bodies delivering those homes. So in our housing plan, because key in the middle of this housing crisis is an affordability crisis, we need to deliver those homes at an affordable rate. We would give the Land Development Agency the powers to CPO lands for affordable housing. And the zoning of that affordable housing is key because it means control how much they increase in value as a result. And then to deliver them, the allocation of funding would be specifically for the not-for-profit housing bodies. And at the moment, Claire, they're not funded at all in terms of the early stage development of projects. That would massively accelerate the speed and the quantity of housing that they could provide. So we would do that, as well as providing funding to the local authorities to be able to deliver those homes as well.
And how
and
long
that would be our focus.
How long do you think this is going to take to get the houses down to that level of 300,000 and 260?
As much as you could increase their economy of scale, as you know, with anything, that would bring down their costs. But say, even in the first year, it would cost more than what it would in the second, third, fourth, fifth of that term of government. And it's really important to acknowledge that. But as you increase it and the economy of scales and the funding for the early stage development, it would bring it down. So after the 2 years, you'd be able to accelerate much more. And we know that we need that. That, you know, all parties would be saying 50,000. It has to go up from there. But crucially, that is the way we can do it. And that hasn't been acknowledged by this government. Yeah. They'll talk about the different figures and exceeding targets. But in terms of affordable purchase homes, that's our key that we need. And that is how the Social Democrats would approach
and
this.
And you want to There's get rid of the Help to Buy scheme, is that right?
Well, like not you couldn't just remove it immediately because it has basically fueled the increase in prices. It would have to be phased out as the cost of homes were brought in. But we basically think the Help to Buy scheme was, it's like giving somebody a tiny shovel in a huge hole to help them get out of it. It's not the approach we would take. It puts petrol on a situation that's on fire. So it needs to be phased out, but removing it really immediately wouldn't help because unfortunately, it was introduced. It has increased the price of homes. Removing it quickly would pull the rug from under people.
Yeah.
Yes, we think it needs to be phased out. And there's other things, Claire, like at the moment, there's about 100,000 homes lying vacant around the country in the middle of this housing crisis. The government introduced a 0.3% tax on vacancy at a time when house price inflation was at 10%. So that's basically saying to people who are sitting on vacant properties, please continue to do that. You'll make money out of it. We would introduce a vacancy tax in line with that house price inflation to try and bring those homes back into use. We've 500,000 adults living in their childhood bedrooms. These kind of measures are not the emergency measures that we need to see. It's the same with the bulk purchasing of homes. They introduced a pathetic tax when they could introduce an effective ban on the bulk purchasing of homes. So we just need to see a new approach, one that genuinely addresses
Just to be clear on
issues.
That hike in vacancy taxes, is that just for specific parts of Dublin or is it wider than that?
Oh, wider than that. And to be clear, like I think sometimes when people hear that, they think about maybe somebody in a nursing home. There is exemptions for things like those kind of particular circumstances where everyone can agree that somebody's home shouldn't be taxed at that rate if they may be able to come back out. Or there's all of those different elements. It doesn't apply to derelict properties that people can't afford to do up. It's just around vacancy. But outside of Dublin, in our plan to address Dublin, there is measures around vacancy and tackling vacancy. But as a national policy position, we also think there needs to be a vacancy tax with teeth to bring those thousands and thousands of homes into use.
And at what level will that vacancy tax be set at?
So in line with house price inflation, at the moment, that's about 10%.
OK, let's move on to some of the commentary around your own seat, the constituency that you are in Cork South West. I mean, you could be vulnerable there. That's what people are saying in analysis. We know Fine Gael are pushing with two candidates. There's a Labour challenge, Sinn Féin, of course, too. It would be a massive blow to the Sock Dems if you can't hang on there.
I know, it's such a competitive constituency and, you know, I don't take anything for granted. It's kind of feels strange at the end of this dull term because when I first ran in Cork South West, I was literally laughed at. People told me that I had to hope there was no way in this three-seater and the, you know, so-called Fine Gael seat and the Fianna Fáil seat and all of these things. And the people in Cork South West gave me a chance. I'm extremely grateful for that. It's been an incredible honour. I've put my absolute heart and soul into it since then. And I really hope that people want me to continue. But that's all that I can say, because you're right. It's, you know, it's a really competitive area. There's only three seats and Fine Gael are doing, you know, everything they can to try and what they call get their seat back. But right. I think the misconception is it's not a Fine Gael seat. It's not a Social Democrat seat. It's Cork South West's seat and it's up to them at the end of the day. But yeah, here it goes. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, Holly Kearns, thank you for joining us on the programme. Holly Kearns is the leader of the Social Democrats. Coming up next, Trump phones Putin, according to reports, denied this morning by the Kremlin and tells him not to escalate the war in Ukraine. We'll find out what's been happening next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.